It's Labor Day. H-Town, live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios. In for In the Loop, here's Luke Morrow and Chris Partee.
That's right, hanging out for the fellas here on this Labor Day. They'll be back tomorrow. Colin Neal on the Steel Wheels. Appreciate you hanging with us on this Labor Day. Hopefully doing something fun and not stuck working, but nonetheless, appreciate you killing the time with us. 713-572-4610 to text the show. You can always get to us on the YouTube and Twitch chats as well. So typically on In the Loop at this time every Monday, they do winners and losers of the weekend. And with college football taking center stage this weekend, I figured let's do winners and losers college football edition. However, I have to be honest, as I was sitting down and putting together my list last night, I realized...
Checking it twice.
That's right. I realized I kept coming back to that with the one big game of the weekend, and I was just coming up with losers, quite frankly. Damn. And I'm talking, of course, about Texas and Ohio State. So maybe I'll sneak in some other winners and losers, but I do want to just use this segment to instead focus on that game and the big takeaways. And we'll take these one by one, but just to tee them up, my three takeaways and what I mean by losing in this matchup, Texas and Ohio State on Saturday. Number one, of course, Arch Manning. What a letdown of a debut start. We'll dive more into that in just a moment. But number two from that game also, preseason polls. And we'll dive more into that in just a moment. And it wasn't that game, but it was the entire weekend. Already rip up and throw out the original preseason poll. It's stupid to begin with, and the poll is going to change quite a bit here today. But we'll zero in more on that in just a moment. And then the third one, is actually college football fans. I think we're also losers this weekend. And I don't say that in like a mean way, like what a loser for sitting down and watching these games as I did. But I think we came out on the short end of the stick, and I'll dive more into that in a moment.
Get into it.
Call those teases. But let's take this one by one. Arch Manning, just your initial impressions of Arch. First time as the starting quarterback now for Texas. Number one team in the country. They go up against Ohio State. And there was a point with about 11 minutes left in the game, Arch Manning had 40 passing yards. He threw what should have been a second interception at that point. And then he had a couple nice throws down the stretch, but they scored 7 points. It was the basis for our question of the day today. I just thought Arch Manning, I mean, what a underwhelming debut for him on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he did end with 170 yards, but it was all late. Garbage,
yeah,
for the most part.
Yeah, it was. Like I said, he had 40 yards with 11 minutes left.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard to live up to that name, man. It's hard. True. And with us being in the social media age and these young college players, I mean, high school kids having these followings now on social media themselves, and then they're going to their colleges. Just imagine being a Manning at this point with all this technology we have now. All the hype, he just wasn't able to live up to it in game one. Now, that doesn't mean he can't bounce back.
No.
But that first showing, that you only get one chance at a first impression. And we've heard it. It's cliche. We hear it all the time, but it's true. Now his back is against the wall. He has to show something. Not just in game two, but the rest of the season. He has to show something. Or if he doesn't do it quickly, there's a chance he could get replaced at some point this season. That's a chance.
For me, it goes back to really the theme of what we've been saying throughout the show is just about the expectations and the overhype.
Yeah.
So if we didn't have that hype and if his name wasn't Manning, you might have watched that performance on Saturday and thought like, he's just not there yet.
Yeah.
But it's the fact of the matter of talking about teams tanking for Arch Manning and this and that. And then that's your first impression. It's like, oh, wait a minute. If this is the guy everyone's supposed to be salivating over in the NFL right now, that he's going to come in the league in a few months.
Teams are going to tank for Arch.
Yeah, then I have to see a better first impression, especially for a guy who got to sit the last 2 years. He's not an 18-year-old right out of high school.
No.
He knows the system. He's been getting ready for this moment, and the moment just looked too big. He did not look very good. He did not look very talented. He had some weird mechanics. The offense, even the play call, seemed like they didn't trust him. They were running the football so much, and it was a lot of quick throws. He had one good throw down the sideline where he kind of thread a needle. That was about it. Like I said, should have had 2 interceptions, just bad decision-making at times.
Yeah.
Like, he just didn't look the part. If he at least looked comfortable and you could see the potential, but the offense just struggled and they were going up against a good defense. That's one thing. I watched him and thought, like, this is the guy?
He didn't look prepared.
No, he didn't look like even just the way he stepped, dropped back and threw. Like, he was flat-footed. Like, it was odd.
And, I mean, let's just be honest. Even beyond just Arch and his performance, when players aren't prepared, you got to look at coaching as well. If a guy comes out and he just does not look prepared and ready for the moment, I still believe some of that is coaching as well.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Or at least you can put some of that on coaching, not having him prepared to the level he should have been.
We'll see how much he improves Arch Manning. We might just look back and be like, yeah, actually, he wasn't that great. You know, I don't know how much we can blame Sarkisian yet.
Because it's also possible.
I mean, let's remember, if he really was this great, I mean, he sat behind Quinn Ewers the last 2 years, and Quinn Ewers barely made the NFL. Yeah. Like, if you really are, these coaches only care about winning because that's what they get paid for.
Yeah.
So if Arch Manning was the best quarterback, he would have been the starting quarterback last year. He couldn't beat out Quinn Ewers.
He wasn't ready then.
And then we even get his grandfather saying, oh, no, Arch, he's going to come back to college next year. So again, if he is that great of a quarterback, because money's not a problem for this family, it's not like he's going to stay for NIL deals that
are
giving him more than his NFL salary.
Yeah, he's good.
But if we're still having the talk of, he might still be a year away from the NFL, so he's going to require all 4 years in college. You know, like, that's not – Trevor Lawrence was that phenom coming out of high school. Even like an Andrew Luck.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
Andrew
a lot
Luck,
of these guys were big-time quarterbacks.
Go back to John Elway.
They didn't require 4 years of football schooling at college to get ready for the NFL. And I think if his last name wasn't Manning – even prior to Saturday,
we would have
hardly heard a word about him. And then even Saturday with the game, it's all because he's a Manning. And I think I almost feel bad for him in that regard.
Well, it's also Texas. It's also Texas.
That helps too.
Big program. But you're right about the Manning part. If not Manning, it's not as big a deal.
I mean, Quinn Ewers, I don't think, got a ton of hype when he first went to Texas. And so anyways, it was just such a letdown of like, this is a big moment. Texas, Ohio State, Arch Manning's debut. People have been talking about this for months. And then you sit down and watch that game Saturday and be like,
it's a dud.
This is a tough watch.
Yeah.
So that's number one. Number two, as I said, the preseason poll. Because you had a situation here where Texas was the number one team in the country. You figured, Texas is the best team in college football. And then they lost their opener and scored only 7 points. By the way, they were underdogs in that game. So even Vegas was like, yeah, no, they're not the best team in the country. And I know it was on the road. And Ohio State was favored by three, at least opened as a three-point favorite. It got bet down. And you might say the three, that equals home field advantage. So my point in all this is on a neutral field, Vegas still thought they were the same.
Yeah.
And yet one was ranked first and one was ranked third.
Mm.
So there was still a team in between, even though Vegas saw them as at worst the same. But the preseason poll, Clemson lost, Alabama lost to Florida State on the road. That was a bad loss.
Yeah, it was.
These preseason polls are so stupid, not just because they're always wrong, but because it sets up these expectations of, like, if you're outside of the top now 12, because 12 teams make the playoffs, if you're outside the top 12, you have to prove yourself to be a top 12 team, where if you're given a top 12 ranking, you're given the benefit of the doubt that you're already a top team in college football. Where we used TCU as the example earlier. No, it turns out they were just a bad team that year, but you thought they were going to be good. So like Texas, hypothetically speaking, Arch Manning has a bad year and Texas isn't very good, but they're going to be given the benefit of the doubt because they were preseason number one and we had these high expectations. Whereas other teams need to work their way into the top 12 by actually winning their games and surprising people. I think it sets up these bad narratives that are unfair for these teams
now,
simply based off of just what coaches and media think in the summer.
Were it up to you, would you just totally do away with the preseason poll?
Absolutely.
Or would you have some other type of
I would do it just for fun, but it would have nothing to do with anything. Okay. And I would have no rankings until probably not even after week one, because I don't think we've seen enough sample size.
Maybe week five, six, something like that.
After the first month of the season. Yeah. Okay, you saw 3 to 4 games now. Now pick who truly are the best teams. And that's how you really do it instead of preseason hype. Because now Texas, like I said, starts at number one. So even though they lost this game and looked bad, they're only going to drop a couple spots.
Yeah.
Where when you watched all the college football this weekend, you probably saw a handful of teams that, these look better than Texas. But yet Texas is still going to be a top five team.
Yeah.
And then also, as I always say, I mean, it's like giving out the awards to movies based off of the trailers, right? Like we just haven't seen these, teams play. It's ridiculous. And then the last one real quick here on winners, losers, although I'm putting my own spin on this segment. Losers, as I said, college football fans. And I don't mean this that if you sat down and watched the games this weekend, you should feel like a loser. I'm not saying that because I did the same. But I think we got the short end of the stick. And if you watch a lot of these games, they were just like low scoring. All the unders, I'm a betting degenerate, so I pay close attention. The unders all came flying in on all of these games, not just the ranked games, but all the college football games this weekend. And that Ohio State-Texas game was 14-7.
14-7, yeah.
Clemson was, what, 17-10. Clemson didn't even score in the second half. Just not a lot of points. And I'm all for defensive battles when it's actually good defensive battles, but I thought a lot of these games was just sloppy offense, really. It was just bad offense.
I mean, we talk about it with the NFL all the time, how the first month of the season now has become kind of the ramp up instead of the preseason because most starters don't play any preseason games anymore. And there's only three now. So, I mean, it kind of feels like that type of situation.
Yeah, and I think the big thing with college is just because of the amount of change. So, like, we're going to see it tonight with Belichick and UNC.
Yeah.
And that there's so much turnover now that I think these offenses are all going to start slow.
You're talking about the portal and NIL and all these different
Guys move teams aspects. So frequently.
So, yeah, it's free agency, basically.
It is.
It is free agency.
Without contracts, though.
Yeah.
And so there's so much change that I think the offenses struggle out of the gate because defenses are just reacting.
Exactly.
Offenses have to be on the same page and they have to know the system and all that sort of stuff.
Gotta
have
chemistry.
More time.
Yeah.
And the defense, chemistry. You just have to be athletic and react.
Yeah.
So I think as a college football fan, this is going to become the new norm that like September might be ugly football, even in these big matchups, because so many teams are just learning an entire new roster, entire new offense, new coaches, new players, new quarterbacks, and it's going to look sloppy for a while that even when we get these big matchups, game of the year, Texas, Ohio State, and then you watch it and it's, you know, 7-0 going into the fourth quarter of just bad football. Unfortunately, it's a letdown for the fans.
It was supposed to be game of the year, but maybe for Ohio State, yeah, but no, it didn't turn out that way.
Yeah, for sure. I see a lot of defensive Arch Manning, which I understand, especially because a lot of Texas fans.
Yeah.
Arch had his first start on the road in front of 100,000 people against a former NFL defensive coordinator. Stupid takes, lost to last year's national championship in his third ever start. I get that, but if this is supposed to be the next phenom that teams are tanking for a year in advance, and he's a Manning, and he's this greatest quarterback, he's the Heisman favorite, you got to look better than he did on Saturday against a good team.
You know people are going to make excuses for anything. Anything you love, you'll make excuses
of course.
For it.
So I get the Texas fans defending Arch Manning.
Understood.
I understand it. But if you really are like the best quarterback in the country, you have to look good against the good teams too. You can't tell me, well, Ohio State won the national championship last year. Okay. You can't just perform against Panera Bread. You got to beat the best teams in college football if you really are the best best quarterback. Hey, coming up, D'Amico Ryans is talking to the media. So if anything comes out of that, we will bring it to you, anything of interest. But when we come back, what's the most anticipated matchup for week one? Not only the Texans and the Rams, but what else are you looking forward to most in terms of matchups, players, quarterbacks, defenses, games?